Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Hope you all had a great weekend. Thanks for joining us on a Monday edition of the show. James and Randy here with you. How you doing, Randy?
Pretty well. How are you, James?
Doing good. Doing better now. Here to talk some sports with the best listeners in radio. We're going to have some fun doing it, too. Want to thank Quality Plus Printing, Family Natural Foods, for sponsoring this hour, giving us an opportunity to get these sports takes and feelings out of our system. It is the healthiest way to handle sports. This is a safe zone. You go ahead and get those takes and those feelings to us, and go ahead and get us your NFL draft predictions, everybody, because I want that from our listeners today. I want to hear from you about whatever you really want to talk about. You don't have to talk to draft, but I'd love to hear that. Randy and I are going to touch on that when we get a chance. Got some Brewers to talk, Rafters as well. Want to get into the NHL, NBA playoffs, and at the 5:30 mark when we come back from our timeout, Randy will have a local high school update for us. But Randy, just kind of spinning the sports roulette wheel right now, is there any place you want to start? I don't think I ask you that nearly enough.
Well, there's so many places to start.
Yeah.
How about the Women's Ice Hockey World Championship yesterday?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The United States defeated the defending champion Canadian squad in overtime, 4-3, with 2:54 left, as Tessa Janicki got the game winner, and they got the world championship. So they kind of breezed through the tournament, actually, and that was and that was their toughest match. So good for them, good on them.
The last thing you want to do is poke the bear, but on the women's side of things, I would say that if not caught up, maybe even passed by a skate, the women's Canadian team. And it's really USA Canada, especially on the women's side, where it just hasn't been grown. The sport hasn't grown as much around the world. There are wonderful hockey players all around the world, female players. But when you look at those two squads, those are still the benchmarks.
I think I read something like Canada and the United States have played in the last 13, except for one. And that was when it was, and I want to say, Finland was the host, and they knocked off Canada, then the United States played Finland, but outside of that, it's always been these two squads.
And it's something, and honestly, and I got to give my dad a credit on this one, because he's been talking about this for years with hockey and women's hockey and soccer. We need to enjoy it, because there was a day where we would laugh at the idea of the us being challenged in the Olympics in men's basketball. We'd laugh at that, and the rest of the world caught up, and now we're going to have to work for it. I still think that USA is by far and away the best men's Olympic basketball team every year we're going to put out there. But we're not that far away from it being a lot more closer. And in the women's side of things, again, I think it's going to be, you're going to see that sport grow. You're going to have a great Sweden team and Finland team. You're going to have a lot more of that, because not only the popularity of women's athletics, but the finances that are being put into women's athletics. Businesses are now finally starting to see, oh, wait a minute, we can make money here too. We can also profit from this, and with that, kids get the profits a lot of times too and stuff. So I don't know. I think that we need to enjoy these while we can. But I will say this to Canada. I don't know if they were paying attention here to our Frozen Four with women's teams and Lady Badgers, but we got a couple American Badger players on that team. USA ain't letting go of this title at any time soon with some of these young athletes that are going to be coming up.
You know, just to build off of your the NBA and how the world is catching up a little bit on that as well for the Olympics, you think if Steph Curry doesn't hit a couple of those big shots towards the end of that gold medal game, you know, that might have had a different outcome as well.
Whole different game.
And remember last week we were talking about, you know, the NBA playoffs, right, mm-hmm. which are now upon us. And we're talking about, would you like to face Golden State? Well, guess what? Golden State got the first win on the road at Houston yesterday by 10 points.
Yeah.
And Steph Curry goes off for 31. He had some pretty awesome stats as well.
Oh, he he's just
12 for 19, I think, field goals.
Such an incredible athlete.
5 for 9 from threes, a couple of free throws. 7 for 10 from two-point land, so he is just some of those drives where he just goes down the lane, throws them up high off the backboard, and they just come splashing through. It's crazy.
Steph Curry has literally made more three-pointers than anybody else. So we have seen him more than anybody else make wild, crazy three-point shots. We've seen him make it from, you know, past the halfway mark. We've seen all these. This weekend, he hit a three-pointer that is in his top five, where he's guarded perfectly. and he's trying to hurry up because of the clock. He's falling and leaning out of bounds. He's going, his whole body is going out of bounds. His arms are going out of bounds, but his wrists and his hands are locked in the perfect shooting position, and he shoots what is just an insane shot angle-wise. If you just watch the ball, well, yeah, of course it's going to go in. But if you watch everything else that's happening in that play, like, I don't know, his body, how it's just flying out of bounds, I would be maddened if I was a physicist. Or any kind of scientist, and I tried to watch Steph Curry play basketball. Like, that's against physics. That he should not be able to do the things that he does. It's one thing to watch a great. It's one thing to watch a once-in-a-lifetime talent. It's another to see, in living in real time, an athlete like this who's also just seems to be a guy to root for.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Like, I'm fine if somebody says I'm not a Steph Curry fan, but rooting against him feels pretty heavy. I don't know how you do that. I enjoy watching him play so much. It's not so much that I want to see Golden State continue to win. I just want to keep seeing him play, and the only way to do that is if they keep winning. So it's just a byproduct of what I want to have happen.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, maybe there's somebody who's got a quicker release, but nobody comes to mind as quickly as gets those shots off. And again, that one arching shot he made in the Olympics, was just phenomenal. Yeah, he is something else.
It's going to be an interesting playoffs, especially once we get out of this the early rounds. You know, I'm still such an old school basketball head that I remember these first rounds being a lot more interesting than they become now with the play-in and some of this. And I don't think that it's, you know, where you look at the West, and I'm looking at right on down the line, and I would not be surprised to see the Clippers, Denver, OKC, Lakers, Minnesota, in the end, Golden State in the finals, let alone in the Western Conference Championship. None of that would surprise me, and that's 7-8 teams right there.
You know,
in the East, I've got one team that I pretty much think is going to be in there for sure that I would bet money on, and that's Boston.
Right.
Outside of that, I don't know where.
Outside of Cleveland, maybe, with the number one
seed? I'm hoping for Cleveland.
Yeah.
I want Cleveland too, but if I was betting harder in cash on it, I don't know that I could feel comfortable doing that.
Right.
And please, somebody beat Boston. Please, somebody beat Boston. Gosh, it's not the players. I can't stand their coach, and I just am tired of Boston. Like, I'm just tired of that. I work with one of my main teachers I work with, and I actually run a class with, is a Bostonian, a proud Southie. Yeah. And we go back and forth on one thing in life. We get along on everything except for this. Just Boston fans, man. Ugh.
Well, you know, thinking back to the West, there's only two teams that won on the road. Game number one, and that is Golden State, of course. But the other one, were you surprised by this, how Minnesota actually defeated the Lakers 117-95? Was that a little surprising to you or not?
It was. I wasn't surprised Minnesota won. Just last year, Western Conference Finals, solid team. Anthony Edwards is, I think, actually gotten more game than most people realize. He led
Some
the league.
Some people think of him as a mini Jordan, right?
Yes, yeah. He led the league in three-pointers this season. And I think that would surprise a lot of people, considering most of the posters and most of the things you see are him slamming. He's a complete player. He can do it all. And he's so much younger than even Luka, let alone LeBron. And I also think, though, and I don't know that they did this, I'm sure that you want to win every one of these games. If I'm a 40-year-old LeBron, if there's any game that I'm not at full speed for, it's game one of the next, hopefully, if you're a Lakers fan, 16 wins. You need 16 to do what they're trying to do right now. I also think there's a storyline happening here with the Lakers where they're playing with house money. They expected to maybe be in the play-in. They expected to maybe be where Memphis is or some of these teams. The fact that they not only are in the playoffs and everything, but that their future went from, well, LeBron's going to be 41 next year, I don't know what's going to happen there or anything, to, oh my God, we got one of the best, if not the best player in basketball wearing a Laker jersey till the end of time. He'll forever be known as a Laker from now on, and he's ours, and we can build around this and everything. And it's just, they're playing with fool's gold, with house money, and they're focused on next year and the year after and all that. Their game plan, their five-year plan, if you will. Like, you talk to somebody in their senior year in high school or even in college. Oh, I'm going to be doing this. And then they win the lottery the day after they graduate, and all that's out the window. Like, all that's out the window. Like, I don't care about work anymore. I'm just going to go ahead and spend some money. That's what the Lakers are in right now. And I don't know their motivation. to keep going with this season when I don't know that they can. I don't know how anybody, even if you're Boston, looks at OKC and says, I can beat that.
51-point victory.
That team is everything that we said about them last year, and even the year before that, because this is the third year now we're talking about OKC is going to do some damage in the playoffs. Everything we said those last 2 years, just watching a half a basketball of this team, I saw, oh, wait, that's all out the window now. They've got the one thing that you could that everybody's begging for, experience. They got the reps. It's what we're seeing with Houston right now that is a really good young squad, but they don't have the reps. They don't have the playoff experience. I said this last week, and I'll say it again. I don't think that there's any other sport that you can say this about so adamantly. You rarely, in the playoffs, win right away. I will forever remember Sam Cassell.
Former Buck,
yeah,
Seattle.
Yeah, yeah, great point guard. Got drafted out of Florida State to the Houston Rockets. In his first 2 years in the league, won titles. Yeah, with the Houston Rockets, those 2 years Jordan was off playing basketball with my Sox, or baseball with my Sox. And I just think about that, and like, it's not just rare to have that happen. It's so rare in basketball to have it happen. It just does. You don't win right away. Jordan had to get beat up by Cleveland and shoot one of the greatest shots in playoff history, floating over Craig Elo to nail that shot. What they don't talk about is I'm pretty sure they got swept by Detroit in the very next series. So he had to go to the gym and get built up and get bulked up so he could bang the boards with Detroit and everything. Even Jordan had to go through this. All these teams, all these athletes, they have to go through it in the playoffs in basketball. And I think that's part of what makes the game so great to me, is nothing is given in that sport. You can have plenty of guys that are a God-given talent, and on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and LeBron still had to go to Miami and team up with two other Hall of Famers to win his first title. Charles Barkley's one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen play basketball. He was incredible. We have completely underrated Charles Barkley, and he has turned into a complete cartoon character.
For a guy like 6'5", right?
Yeah, thank you, Randy, that's the thing. If he was 5 more inches, I probably, and had the same career, I probably wouldn't say the same thing. But for his size and how dominant he was, how intimidating he was in the boards and everything against Manute Bol or some of these guys, and they, went backwards on him. Rodman was the only guy I ever saw hang toe to toe with Barkley. Even Malone, Karl Malone didn't want any of that. The guys just didn't mess with that guy. You in basketball, you have to really truly earn it. It's a whole different game in the playoffs. Hockey, you can say the same thing, but that's almost on a madman level. That's going from in the regular season in hockey, we're going to shoot some goals, we're going to have some fun. Hey, Alexander Ovechkin's going to make sure that everybody gives Marc-Andre Fleury a handshake because this is all about class. And as soon as that, the game's over, we're all getting along and everything. Going from all of that and making sure that I'm wearing a nice suit pregame and all this to the playoffs where, hey, what happened to your face? Well, I dove in front of a puck.
Yeah.
So we could win a one-score game.
Right.
The difference in regular season hockey and playoff hockey is unlike anything else. Basketball, it's just different in the sense of not only having to earn it on a off-the-court and on-the-court level, but the level of intensity that these athletes play with. To where guys like Jimmy Butler, it was no hidden secret that he got a reserve tank for the playoffs.
42 minutes in that first game, scored 25 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. I mean, he had himself a whale of a game. I was comparing that a little bit with the person that the Bucks got, that Kuzma.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't score.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
disappointing.
Not only disappointing, it's got to be really disappointing for a lot of the talking heads at ESPN who, had him as their wild card in that game and stuff. That's going to happen to some athletes in games. It can happen in that one. That's rough. That's a rough look. There's no getting around it.
Bobby Portis only had 4. I mean, it was all basically Giannis with 36. After that, the next leading scorer had 15, A.J. Green. So you just can't have one guy getting 36 and the next guy 21 points behind him. That's not a formula for winning, obviously, so Bucks going to have to pick it up a little bit here. Even though they won the series in the regular season 3-2. There's an example of what you were talking about. Preseason, a whole different animal than the postseason.
You bring up the Bucks. The Bucks had to go through some growing pains mm-hmm. to get to their title and everything. Mm-hmm. I think we saw OKC go through it, and I think that now is their time.
And I was thinking about that too. Like, I think back to the Packers back in like 92 when they got Favre. It just took them a couple of years and they won the Super Bowl that 96 season. Mm-hmm. Well, that was kind of the beginning of the free agency, though. They got Reggie White there, and now it's so much different because you can basically build a team around free agency, so you can be one and done in NFL compared to like building these other franchises.
I want to know if anybody's got any picks, if anybody's in the early rounds of these NBA playoffs or NHL playoffs for that matter, if you've got anybody that stands out to you and you're willing to put your name on that you think is going to be in the finals for the NBA and NHL playoffs.
Well, again, the NHL, there's only one road team that won, and that was Colorado defeating Dallas 5-1. So tough to win on somebody's home ice too, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. A shout out to Winnipeg, who just came out and like what President's Trophy curse? We're gonna come out here and we're just gonna leave it all on the ice.
Yeah, three goals in that third period.
I do like the Panthers team. They got a number of players I like. They got a Kachuk and a couple of things there that I like. And I'm certainly a little biased there, but I don't think there's anything in life that I'm more of an opposite homer on, where I'm so USA, USA, and all that and everything, and yet with the Stanley Cup playoffs, I'm kind of like, I'd like to see a Canadian team win. I kind of like to see Toronto win. But even in that regard, it's sneaky because Toronto's best player is Austin Matthews, who's right from here in the U.S.
Right.
So I guess I'm not really. But I would love to see what I'd really like to see is an all-Canada Stanley Cup.
Oh, okay.
I think that would be kind of cool. Not only would it, I'd like to see Winnipeg and Toronto face off.
I'm kind of half on your side. Mm-hmm. I love to see Canada win as much as possible until they get to the finals, then they want USA.
Yes, yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Well, and go ahead and ask me, because I said this last year.
Yeah.
And then Florida and Edmonton face off, and what am I saying? Go Panthers.
Yes,
go Panthers.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. So I could easily be completely.
We'll fix you.
Yeah, yeah. I did want to talk a little baseball with Brewers. We'll talk some Rafters in a little bit, too. But talking about the Brewers, we heard our good friend Mike Clemens talk about this and during his break about the stolen bases for the Brewers. Franchise record, 9 steals for the Milwaukee Brewers. This is one of my favorite things in all of sports is stolen bases, so of course this caught my attention. I thought it was really cool, for one. Randy, you said something I did not catch, though, during that game.
Yeah, we were driving yesterday over to visit with my sister for Easter Sunday, and we had the Brewers on, we're listening, and they steal 6 bases in the first inning. And they had 5 different Brewers that stole a base. Terang or Frelick scored, stole 2 mm-hmm. To make it 6. But the record for one inning is 8. And 4 different players in that game each stole 2 bases.
That's crazy.
So just think how many times they had to get up and,
yes.
They had to bat around to make that happen.
Well, and you've got this kid in Tampa, Chandler, who Seth and I were talking about last week, had like 102 stolen bases in like 100 games, or 116 stolen bases in 100 games last year in AAA, and they just pulled him up, and he's already stealing bases and already doing great work on the base pads. I think that you've seen a shift go on here quite a bit with all of a sudden speed and base running, base running expertise mattering again. And you can't just go up there and man smash, it's not, we're getting away from that a little bit more in baseball again. I think you're not going to get rid of the smashers, and I don't want to, but I think you get an evening out of where you have a little bit of that and a little bit of the great base runners and mixed on your teams. The only thing I will say, though, that as far as the last game for the Brewers, or the Brewers beating the Athletics 14-1, and that one particular we're talking about, as much as I'd like to focus just on the, again, franchise record 9 steals, how about Logan Henderson?
Debuting, right?
Yeah.
As he won 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 9 Ks. He had a nice stat line. Even Tyler Alexander bouncing back a little bit. I think his first outing was kind of rough. 3 innings, 1 hit, no walks, 5 Ks. So, isn't that cool? I think they were talking a little bit on the broadcast yesterday, but I agree. It's really cool. The Brewers, they must have some kind of pitching coaches, because they bring in these guys that are kind of thrown off by other teams. And not everyone is successful, but I'll tell you what, a lot of them are.
Yeah.
You think of Tobias Myers coming in last year, and hopefully he'll be back, maybe pitching. I don't know. I don't see him pitching tonight. I think Quinn Priester is going this evening as of right now.
Is, yeah.
But he's another one. I mean, you got these guys we've never heard of before, and they just seem to be able to turn them into starting pitchers who perform well. And so kudos to the pitching staff. And you just got to love stories like that. You know, this Henderson kid, what is it, 23? You know, talking also about stealing bases, think about the Brewers. You know, there's a lot of times they'll be just a ground ball. You think it's routine, and they'll beat it out.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much speed on that team. That's the other thing that's really impressive.
I've been a fan since the first at-bat I saw of him, but I feel like every time I see him play, I become a bigger Bryce Terang fan. Mm-hmm. I just really like his defense, offense, the way he approaches the game, even him in the dugout. Yeah. He's one of those guys where even if he was a 220 hitter, I'd want him on my starting man roster. I don't know if I'd put him out there, but I want him on my team, let alone he's a great hitter.
And the Brewers, they miss Adames, you know, for that rah-rah in the dugout.
Yes.
You know, they're still cohesive in there, but, you know, right now he's hitting 202 with one home run, 11 ribbies and 18 hits only on the season. So, boy, you know, if you're thinking San Francisco, it's early. I know he's struggled the first 2 months of the season, but right now, and his defense, I guess, from what I understand, has been a little bit shaky. So it'll be fun to see him again.
I'm
going to be looking forward to watching him the next four games against the Brewers.
I said when they signed him in San Francisco, and you're absolutely right, it's way too early in the season to say anything. And I don't care if he hits 50 home runs this season. You couldn't sign him to that deal. He's not worth that money. Yeah. I wish him the best. But he didn't sign for San Francisco for any other reason than the big contract. And I don't blame him for that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody was offering him that kind of money but San Fran. They had to overpay because they were out trying to outbid other teams, including the Brewers.
And they needed a shortstop.
Yeah. But I don't. You can't make the argument to me that he's worth that money. I think, especially when I see a Joey Ortiz doing great things over there, or a guy that we want. I wanted to talk about and segue perfectly into Rafters baseball with you a little bit, Randy, and that is the debut of Caleb Durbin.
Yes,
Illinois zone.
Played with the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders.
Yes. One of our own Northwoods League guys and everything, making his debut and playing great for the Brewers and looking more and more like a starting third baseman over there, like legit.
Again, they said yesterday during the broadcast, it's his job to lose. He's going to be the starting third baseman just going forward. And, you know, probably a little bit like they did with Dunn. Give him a chance. And if you can't prove yourself, then they'll look further. But how about his first, you know, he's got the whole family there. First at bat, almost jacks a home run. It was just foul and a little bit low. But then he still got a hit. And he got his first RBI the other day. So, yeah, and he's got some speed.
I like his speed.
Yeah.
He fits
in perfectly with the rest of the infield, doesn't he?
He really does, yes. His skill set is almost, not identical, but almost perfect for that, where whatever one guy isn't great at, he kind of fills in, but they're all really speedy, and they all got great agility.
Well, just go around that Brewers infield and outfield, and you got Durbin at third, you got Ortiz at short, you got Terang at second. Out in left field, you got Churio, you got Mitchell in center, you got Frelick in right. Hey, I'll tell you what, Contreras can run a little bit, too, for a catcher.
Yeah.
You know, he beats out double plays. And up and down that line, outside of Rhys Hoskins, they're basically, they got speed up and down that lineup.
And he isn't speedy for sure, Rhys Hoskins is such a stalwart at that first base. He's such a old school first baseman.
Starting to heat up a little bit.
That's good, too. He's a guy that I'm rooting for, too, just in the sense of how he's rooting for that franchise and bet on that franchise and everything.
Kind of fun to be an older guy kind of brought into the team and just have all these youngins, you know, looking up to you and probably looking for some advice. He and Yelich as well, right? And Yelich has got speed too when he DHs. That kid can fly.
Brought up Chandler Simpson. A shout out to him too. Another former Northwoods League player as well. It's fun to see these guys making their debuts and getting an opportunity to play not only in the big leagues, but to you know, coming from the Northwoods League to the big leagues.
And this is why you've got to listen to the Rafters on our radio station, because who knows, in the future, we might have an MLB player here as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, last year we had McGuire's kid here. I mean, we have got, there's all kinds of athletes that are fun to watch. And one of these things that I think that we get a personal connection to when it comes to these players, even if they're just in the Northwoods League, you know, let alone if they're playing for the Rafters. And you just never know how they could turn out. And the Rafters are taking advantage of it being draft week. You're on the clock. Draft week ticket deal, 23% off grandstand tickets. They got a code there for you to use. You just go to northwoodsleague.com and sign up, get those tickets. That way you're all covered. You know, come May, I'm all good. I'm good. I'm ready to go for opening day.
I think we're about 5-6 weeks away from the start, aren't we?
So darn close. I go past Winterfield all the time, and it taunts me.
The car wants to pull in.
Yes, yes. So ready for opening day, May 26th, over at that we're looking forward to, of course. And get your tickets at northwoodsleague.com. Just to wrap up, go full circle with the pitching we were talking about with the Brewers that you mentioned before. That was part of the reason, and still is part of the reason, why I'm a big believer in them being able to turn Nestor Cortes around. Yep. Is that pitching staff has earned the benefit of the doubt, I think. So that's why when that deal went down, I thought that was a lot better than, you know, how a guy looks in your uniform compared to in their uniform. That's such an odd thing to me to look at in trades. And like, well, you know, how you gauge that. And what can my staff do with this guy? Whether it's health or it's their technique or whatever it is. I always find that really interesting. And if I'm the Brewers, my pitching staff has earned such a benefit of the doubt. When I look at guys like Nestor Cortes, I'm looking at them like a lot of women have looked at me. I can fix him. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm so kidding. I'm kidding. We'll take a time. Nobody thinks they can fix me. We'll come back.
Except for hockey.
More Playmakers. Brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here at WFHR, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. James and Randy hanging out with you. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers. Randy's got some local coverage for us. What do you got, bud?
Well, let's begin with girls softball from the area for this week. Wisconsin Rapids picked up a home win on Tuesday over Marshfield 9-6, and then they split a pair on Saturday in the Point Quad over in Plover as they smoshed Sun Prairie East 14-2 before losing to Jefferson 9-2. The Lady Raiders are off until Thursday when they travel up to 3-dubs to face the Warriors. Assumption faced Auburndale twice this last week. On Monday, they nipped the Eagles on the road 2-1. Macy Vollard tossed a one-hit gem while striking out 10, and Ari Cavanaugh smacked a pair of doubles for the Royals. Then at home on Tuesday, Assumption fell 4-1. Morgan Griesbach got the W, allowing just 4 hits while striking out 5 for Auburndale. Weather permitting, the Royals are up in Edgar right now, taking on the Wildcats. Port Edwards beat Bowler Gresham at home on Tuesday, 17-5. Taylan McDonald got the W on the hill as she allowed only 1 hit. While at the dish, she went 3-for-3 and scored a pair of runs. On Thursday, Pittsville came a-calling, and they went home with an 18-1 win. The Hawks return to action on Thursday as they head east to face Wild Rose. And Nakusa earned 3 wins, including back-to-back no-hitters. The first came on Monday as Jackie Beadle and Reagan Wilhorn combined to blank Athens 11-0. And then on Tuesday, Wilhorn got the solo no-no as the Papermakers mauled Mauston 15-0. And finally, on Thursday, Nakusa picked up the win at Westfield 7-2. The Papermakers will be back at home tomorrow as they entertain Wautoma. Michael and Seth will be bringing you all the action starting at 4:50 on FM 105.5 WIRI. It was also a busy week in boys baseball action as the Lincoln Red Raiders on Tuesday won at Wausau East 4-1, and again on at home on Thursday, also against the Lumberjacks, 7-1. Rapids is back at home tomorrow as they play host to Spash. Like the girls, Assumption faced Auburndale twice last week. On Monday, they lost on the road 13-3. Nolan Richardson got the win, scattering 4 hits while striking out 9. And then on Tuesday, the Eagles won at Assumption 22-1. Blake Robb was the winner for Auburndale and also went 5-for-5 at the plate, including 5 RBIs. The Royals are also on the road today at Edgar. Port Edwards split a pair this week, striking Bowler at home on Tuesday 8-6, and then losing at home to Pittsville 11-0 on Thursday. Again, weather and field conditions permitting, the Blackhawks are scheduled to play at Ullman Bancroft today. And Nakusa had three contests this week. First, on Monday, they picked up a home win over Athens 5-3. Next, they fell on Tuesday at Black River Falls 5-4. And then on Thursday, Mauston came to town and beat the Papermakers 6-1. Today, Nakusa plays host to the Hornets of Rosholt. In high school girls soccer action, Wisconsin Rapids pitched a shutout at Merrill on Thursday 6-0. And on Saturday, fell at home to Eau Claire Memorial 3-0. The Raiders are also at home again tomorrow as they face the Old Abes of Eau Claire Memorial. And then on Thursday evening, Michael and Seth at 6:50 will bring you Marshfield versus Lincoln on FM 105.5 WIRI from Washington Field. Assumption picked up a home win on Tuesday over Adams Friendship 5-1 as they put a whopping 42 shots on goal. Tomorrow, the Lady Royals will be at the co-op team of Eau Claire Regis and Chippewa Falls McDonald. And last Tuesday, the LHS boys were involved in the Wisconsin Valley Conference Indoor Track and Field Invite at UWSB, where Spash captured first with 176 points, DC Everest was a distant second at 115, while Rapids finished in sixth place with a score of 28.5. And weather permitting, Rapids will be outdoor this Thursday in a triangular with Everest and Spash at Gerkey Field in Stevens Point. So that's just some of the area things that took place this last week here in local sports.
Incredible coverage as always, Randy. Appreciate you. Love working with you for many, many years. I don't want to nitpick, but you did miss one key thing on your list. There was a big, big trade that happened last week that I don't know if it got the national coverage that I believe it deserved. For those that did not hear, our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, has traded for WFHR's Playmakers. There involves a handful of draft picks, a player to be named later, a bunch of that stuff and everything. That's not the really key headline of this. Starting this Wednesday, WFHR will be premiering over on 105.5 WIRI. Playmakers will be over there. Playmakers, we're looking forward to having some fun over there with a new audience, a new crew in some ways. We'll be airing 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, Friday, again starting this Wednesday, which also happens to be our kind of draft special as we lead you into the NFL draft kicking off on Thursday.
Where is that going to be held this year? Do you know?
I heard. Let me double check. Green Bay, Wisconsin.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're looking forward to that, though. And in all seriousness, we encourage you to spread the word about Playmakers moving. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of success with this show. And all of it is thanks to our listeners and our sponsors. Greatly appreciate everybody joining us over on 105, that really long journey across the hall to do this show. But we have some fun things in store for you as we build the show over there. And we're looking forward to talking with you over there, everybody. Same show, no difference. Just different call letters. That's the only change.
Just an hour earlier. And the other thing, too, is the fact that it'll be kind of nice because we always do our high school sports on 105.5. So we've just got all of our sports talk shows and high school activities taking place in the same place.
Yeah, really makes sense. We're looking forward to that. We talking with our new sports director, by the way, Michael Comer. We've been able to talk a little bit about how we can pregame a little bit more for the high school events and maybe even get more coach talk conversation on the show. Or things like that. It's going to work out really good for Meet Your Rafters and Rafter baseball with not really interfering with, you know, opening pitch as much or anything that we might have done with the 5-6 time here. So that's going to even things out a little bit better too. And we're looking forward to it. So spread the word, everybody. This is, as it turns out, is our last show here at WFHR for now. But we are looking forward to, of course, bringing you Badger sports all season long as we're the home of Badger sports here at WFHR. And looking forward to what can happen for WFHR at the 6 o'clock hour, because while there are a lot of things going on that we focused on, one thing I don't think we've been able to talk about, whether it's on our morning show or this show right here, is after 6, you know, we have Pete Schwab right now, but we may be doing some other things here at WFHR after the 6 o'clock hour. So nobody's abandoning this network, at least not as long as I'm here. Nobody's abandoning this network. I love this station. That's not just words I throw out there. It's not a verb I use lightly. I only say the L word if I mean it, and I can back it up. And I think I've proven that this audience is how much I love this darn station. I would hope I have, at least. If not, I'll keep showing up, and I'll keep proving it to you.
Yeah, well, boy, it might go all the way back to 92, and that's a few years ago.
Yeah, your love is definite. I wanted to get into our stat of the show and our story of the show, and piggybacking off of what we are, our Brewer conversation with the stolen bases, and the Brewers having a record, franchise record, 9 steals in that game that win over Oakland. That was impressive, but Randy, what is the most stolen bases in a game? Who has stolen the most stolen bases in a game? The record for most stolen bases in a single game is, do you want to take a shot?
Well, you know, I think they were talking about that when they had those 9, or when they had those 8 in that one inning. It went all the way back to like the 50s. So I don't know if this is the same one, but I'm going to go with, if they actually had that many in one inning, I'm going to go with 15.
That's a great guess. I should have said that better. I have the single individual player with the most stolen bases. I'll look up that part, though, for a team. That's a really good one.
Yeah, boy, one guy, most stolen bases in a game. Is it somebody in the modern era?
Yes.
Would it be Ricky Henderson?
I wish it was.
Okay.
That would only be so perfect for me, personally. I would love to say
that. You know, Lou Brock back in the day, he swiped quite a few as well.
Oh, yeah, good one, good one.
But, jeepers, one guy in a game, I'm going to go with 6.
Nice. Well, just real quick, the New York Highlanders have the most stolen bases by a team in a game with 15 steals versus St. Louis Browns. We all remember back in 1911.
Oh, my gosh.
I all remember that one. It's hard to forget that game.
I was
a great
10
game
at that time.
So you were right about the 15 on there. I wanted to give you credit on that.
Thanks.
And then for players, we all remember George Gore, wonderful Chicago White Sox White Sox stockings player from 1881. Good old George Gore had 7 in a game, only to be tied many, many years later by Billy Hamilton. In 1894. So 7 stolen bases in a game is still the record going back to those old stats. I apologize. I wasn't trying to mess with you, but there was a Billy Hamilton for the Reds that was pretty good.
That's
why
I was thinking you were going to tell me.
And that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I just glanced at it for the Phillies. I'm like, well, I thought he played for the Reds, but okay. And I go, oh, nope, different Billy Hamilton.
Wrong Billy.
Yeah.
Great-great-grandpa.
Yes. 7 and 15 are the numbers right there as far as for a team and for a player. 7 stolen bases is insanity to me. Yeah. And I watched the greatest base player ever as closely as any athlete I've ever watched. And I still couldn't imagine Ricky Henderson pulling off 7 stolen bases in a game.
Just to get on base that many times. Yeah. That's the other thing you have to have happen.
And you got to be getting the double on the base pads there where you get a single and you're stealing second and then stealing third.
Like Ellie De La Cruz last year had 3-1. 3 pitches.
That gets so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
And he's
you see that catch he had yesterday?
It's incredible. And he's not even close to his prime.
He face planted after he caught that thing.
And got up and like proud. Yeah. Like, I love that. That's a ball player right there, man. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Another fun thing to watch this week, and if you happen to miss it, was our story of the show. And you can find the article at ESPN.com if you're looking for it. Otherwise, I encourage you to watch some of the video. Alexander Bonomani became the first ball kid with Down syndrome to work unassisted in the ATP Tour match during the Barcelona Open on Friday. Bonomani performed her duties during the men's double quarterfinals at Andreas Gemayel Court, drawing cheers from spectators and plenty of encouragement on social media as the tournament highlighted her achievement.
How cool is that?
It got me when I read that, man. It got me. That's just a beautiful story and a really, really cool moment, not just for that kid, but for tennis, for everybody involved, and hopefully for sports.
Had I heard about that, that would have been my lead story today.
That's a really good one. That's a really good one. And a credit to the people, that powers that be, that make those decisions. I tried to actually look into it because I really did want to give them literal credit for it and everything, but I could not find who exactly makes those calls. But whoever does, good on you. Yeah. Like, good move. We need more of that. Need more stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about this one, Randy, because this was the big one that dropped right before we went on air. The NCAA Division I Board of Directors today proposed deleting 153 longstanding rules from its handbook, a move that would allow schools to share financial benefits directly with players, an expected step towards a new era of amateurism in college athletics, but one that remains, obviously controversial. When it comes down to it. But essentially what we're saying here is that this would not only you could say maybe eliminate NIL, but make NIL obsolete. Whereas Let's take Miami a couple of years ago, where they had this benefactor, this guy who was a tech guy and had millions and millions and all that and everything, and like, wow, he's going to be able to bring in some really big recruits into the University of Miami. You know who has more money than that? The University of Miami, who's printing money, like, and along with every other university in America. So if they're able to pay players, what do I need the car dealership guy for? What do I need even my board of directors for? I've got the money. I can print out $5 bills with Bucky Badger on them and everything, and print out as many as I want to almost more than Fort Knox. Like, I don't think people really have looked enough into, or maybe they haven't, and that's their own business. But I don't, if you want to talk about how much money these universities are making, I don't think people. I almost bet my bottom dollar that nobody would be able to wrap their mind around how much money college universities are bringing in. Wisconsin is a big university, has a lot going for it, but I don't think you would think of them as a USC or UCLA or some other, like, or even a Harvard or some universities that are just well known throughout the whole entire world. Wisconsin is making more money than most any business in this state, more than Harvard, Harley Davidson. I'll tell you that, more than Quick Trip. More than any other Wisconsin business, Culver's, you can put them all together, and I don't know if they're making the money that the University of the University of Wisconsin's making. So if you're talking about them being able to pay players, let alone USC, UCLA, Syracuse, any other university you want to say, that really changes the game, and it kind of gets rid of the whole need for the car dealer paying these kids or something like that.
The other thing I was thinking when you brought this up was that I know. From what I read in here, I'm not in, obviously we don't look at the books, but from what I understand is, like, some of these colleges have these $50 million, right, that they're sitting on, and they also get $2 million, like, from the government.
Yeah.
So are we actually having the government pay these kids, too?
That's the way it's going to, yep, that's the way it's going to.
If you really look at it, right?
Yep. No, you're 100% right.
So my taxes are paid.
Exactly. Randy, you knew exactly, or at least you and I were going in the same route on this one, on the same path, because that's what you're going to, where your tax dollars are going to be paying for, not going to be, but you're in a, and this is a, please understand, this is a bit of a stretch we're walking down here.
Right.
We're not at all saying this, I'm not fear-mongering or anything like that.
No.
I want to have a conversation about this.
Right.
I hate fear-mongering. I'm so tired of it. It's so lame. I really don't want to be come across that way. If I am, I'm sorry if I am. What I'm trying to get into here is just the interesting end of this.
Yes.
And where we are in time. Because hopefully, if everything works out 20, 30 years from now, they're going to be looking at this and saying what the great groundwork that was done to build this so that it is right. We all love sports. We like college sports. It's not going anywhere. It's got to evolve. You are not putting the genie back in the bottle. You are not going to go back to a day and age that people romanticize all the time about, boy, I miss the days where athletes just played for the love of the game, and they just played for the university and for their scholarship. Man, get over that.
I mean, that happened before there were pro sports, basically.
Right. Exactly, right. Yeah. Randy. That was a time in a day and age that, guess what? Ask the people that lived during it how they feel. How they felt, Ray Nitschke is who I was trying to think of. Ray Nitschke and Dick Buck has talked about this a lot. How their respective ownerships of their teams and the money they were making when they were making pennies. And that's on the NFL level. When they were playing at Illinois, the university, the money that university was making off of those two linebackers, just those two players, let alone the rest of the team that they had at that time. It's the last time that really anybody in Illinois could brag about their football team. The money that they made off of that in Illinois, they're still collecting in Champaign. Like, they're still collecting, and they're still counting that money. These universities do a great service and do something really important in life, in education, in teaching, and being a hopefully a safe haven for these kids to go there, learn, and be able to hit the real world and all that. But let's not kid ourselves, and let's stop romanticizing these days of the past where they played with leather helmets and they played for the love of the game and blah, blah, blah. No, they played for the love of the game because there was no other option. This was it. This or nothing. And of course, if you're going to give somebody an idea of doing their passion and nothing, they're going to do their passion. We're making things right now. It's the Wild West. It ain't what it should be. It's out of hand. And whether we're talking transfer portal or NIL, both things are out of whack right now. I wholeheartedly agree with that. But it's just such a lame and easy kind of thing to say, point to the player or point to NIL and say, that's the problem. That's what's wrong. When nobody's pointing at the adults. Nobody's pointing at the universities. Like, that's where all this starts. And true leadership starts from the top. And anything bad that's happening in life, if the top leader is not taking accountability, then that falls on them more than anything else. And whether we're talking about the NCAA or we're talking about these universities or even these players, it goes to the top. And there has to be accountability and responsibility right there. And that accountability is paying these players. We are one step closer to it with this right here. And all of this being said, the NCAA is probably a good 15 to 20 years behind on this. Like, the athletes at Northwestern almost 20 years ago were trying to unionize. This has been a conversation since you and I were kids, Randy. And they're finally just now starting, well, you know what, maybe we'll let go of some rules and all this.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I'm thinking about all these players that are going to have the ability to bring in some money for their abilities. You think of the other, what percent get into the, you know, NFL or into the NBA? Just a small tenth of a percent, right? You think about some of these people, they know there's no way they're ever going to get into the NFL or into the NBA. So there are some that do it, play it for the love of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the others, the Cooper Flags of the world, who basically are, you know, this is just a one-stop place.
It's a job interview.
Right.
You know, there's a one-year job interview, and show you what I got.
And I think we talked about this maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, too. You know, the fact that you've got these college players who, are they going to actually leave college because they're not going to make as much money, especially if you think about the NFL where they got that four-year rookie contract, right? And if they can stay in college those extra 4 years, and there's no cap on that, you know, so you're going to have these guys coming out at age 24, 25, 26 before they finally get into the NFL. And then they're going to have a rookie contract until they're age 30, and by then their career's over.
Right. It's weird. So, it's really weird how that could go. Yes.
Or somebody had this comment. They said, what happens if some kid who's 30 years old, you know, they got bigger, they got stronger? We know people that got better after they're out of high school. Not, they've got all their eligibility left.
Yeah.
Big grown monsters of people playing college basketball.
It's going to be wild. And it is especially funny to me to see the argument of the person have the two dual argument of, oh, NIL has ruined college basketball. We're not going to have Cinderellas anymore. In NFL, these guys don't stay in college anymore. They keep transferring or whatever. And then the other side of it is, NIL is going to keep kids in college longer where they can become better athletes and be better once they hit the pros. Like, what are we doing? Like, I mean, pick a side here and everything. And real quick, if I can, before we go to break, the fear that NIL could make it so that smaller universities or universities that are not on the West or East Coast or down South or something, that could hurt them. And I think that hits locally, of course, with our Midwestern teams and our Big Ten teams. Don't forget that Wisconsin pulled in the biggest free agent coach there was until Bill Belichick. And nobody even knew Belichick was looking at college. So I think you could make an argument even more than him. Everybody in college football wanted Luke Fickell. Every single university, outside of maybe in Alabama and one or two other teams, they'd have thrown their head coach out if Luke Fickell wanted that job. And Wisconsin got him. And they got him legit-wise. You don't tell me that you still can't get talent or anything like that in this day and age. Players are still going to want to go where they're going to be able to get in where they fit in and be able to play well and get on the field.
Before we hit break, just one NIL guy that left. Tennessee, the quarterback, I think I just saw that he went over to UCLA today.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went, oh, no, Big Ten, he's in our conference. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're going to see what he's made of.
Yeah, you know? It'll be interesting.
I'm curious. Mm-hmm. We'll take a time out, come back, and wrap up Playmakers here for this Monday on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR for one more break. Got us with us over here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. locally grown radio. Randy and James hanging out with you. Again, our starting on Wednesday, WIRI's Playmakers, get used to saying that, will be debuting. We're looking forward to it. We're going to be talking NFL draft to lead you into it, and certainly we'll be talking Rafters and maybe even some River Kings, who knows. But I did want to talk a little NFL draft with you, Randy, as we're getting into the last minutes of the show here. And it looks like the Packers have all but assured that Jaire Alexander is done playing for Green Bay. Some of the moves that they've certainly made in free agency. But it's also a lot of the hand that they're showing a little bit in the NFL draft and the pre-combine and some of that, where they've been bringing in a lot of corners, looking at a lot of corners. Now, that, of course, could be a smokescreen. You know, who knows? And in fact, I would lean more towards all of these things these GMs are doing are smokescreens. I wouldn't buy anything. I wouldn't believe a single word they said. I don't care if I was their kid. I wouldn't believe them what they tell me, because that's their job. You know, if they're good at their job, that's what they're supposed to do. But I do think that given salary cap issues for every NFL team in Green Bay with the Jordan Love contract and some of those things, you really got to be picky about who's going to have those max deals, who's going to have those big contracts. Jaire Alexander just can't I don't know how you can justify it. I don't know how one season or one stretch of games could even justify that contract, let alone going forward, where it's not as if he's going to get healthier or younger.
Right. And he's the last 2 years, he's played combined 1 year, basically.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I think you're better off, cutting your losses. You get a fifth or a sixth rounder or fourth rounder or something like that for him, or my God, take it.
Yeah.
And move on.
Maybe they get Hendrickson in a trade.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's what might be happening this week, you know, that some of those big names that they didn't go after or didn't get, the ones that are still out there and left, they maybe have something that they are hoping to get. Somebody asked me the other day, what do you think the Packers are going to do? And I said, I just hope they don't do like 2 years ago where they don't pick a starter.
Yes.
At least grab a starter from a team, for crying out loud. Not a backup his entire career like Van Ness was, and he just hasn't come around. Hopefully he still does. I'm hoping for the young kid.
There's few arguments that, a few NFL teams that can't not draft. I mean, first two rounds, starters. That's all you should be drafting, unless maybe you're Kansas City.
All Americans.
You know, yes, yes. Yeah. I 100% agree with you, Randy. I would add onto that, don't trade out. Don't trade out of that draft. This is a deep draft, but where they're picking, you could get lucky and somebody falls to you, or maybe you only have to move up a spot or two to get one of these receivers. Everybody's been really tying them to that McMillan kid, that number one receiver out there and stuff, and you land him. I mean, I will take back some of the things I've said about the offseason for the Packers.
When's the last time they picked a wide receiver in the draft in the number one slot? Was it Javon Walker?
Watson a first rounder? I thought Watson was a first rounder.
Maybe.
Maybe not. But either way, it's been a while.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked out. No. So, I mean, I don't know where the direction is going to go any more than anybody else out there. But I would like to see them not either standing pat or moving up a couple of picks and landing either this receiver or whoever the top receiver or pass rusher on the board is. Yeah. One or the other. And get yourself a world beater.
Because yeah,
get yourself a starter.
Yeah.
Great show, Randy. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Great
and it was perfect
here
for you and I to do this final one here at WFHR. Thank you to the best listeners in radio. Wednesday, we'll meet you over at 105.5. Have a great night, everybody.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.